If you're running a business right now, you're playing a game where the rules keep changing. Trade tensions, economic uncertainty, culture wars, the world is rapidly changing around us. And companies, especially independent and local businesses, are having to adapt faster than ever. That's why Mission Critical is evolving. We're diving deep with the founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs who are navigating this chaos in real time. The ones making the tough calls, pushing through unpredictability, and proving that resilience isn't just a buzzword, it's a survival skill. How do you scale in an economy that feels like it's on shaky ground? What happens when US policy shifts send shockwaves through Canadian industries? And in a world where diversity, healthcare, and economic resilience are becoming battlegrounds, how do businesses double down instead of backing down? These are the real conversations that matter to business leaders right now. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical. Let's get into it. Hey, Andre, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
I'm doing well. It's nice to catch up. I think that the last time we had like a formal kind of recorded interview was at your birthday, which was like a minute ago.
that was a good one. My 30th birthday. So, I got to celebrate my new wine. That was amazing. That was a great night.
That was a fun night for sure. And it already feels, time moves by so simultaneously slowly and quickly at the same time. It's wild. And I can only imagine the same for you in just a more intense way.
No, I know, right? My birthday is coming up again in 4 weeks. So it's
You've been busy, obviously, like campaigns, competitions, ambassadorships. Life's been busy, it seems like. Is it easy for you to just ever power down and relax? Or has being like an elite athlete just trained you to always be in motion?
No, I feel like I'm always on go, whether that's like on the track, off the track. I'm finally going to take a vacation probably next week for like maybe, but it's not going to be a full vacation, maybe like a kind of like a weekend getaway. I'm going to go to Cayman for that. So yeah, I'm finally going to get away, just chill, relax, be on the beach. And just kind of be away from my phone, away from everyone. So.
I love that for you. I am so jealous. That sounds amazing. So I was chatting with some of our friends and I got wind that you are going to be featured in a new Canadian Olympic Committee or Team Canada video. And the campaign is for Brave is Unbeatable. The campaign Brave is Unbeatable, that was, you were featured in that for the Paris 2024 one, and now you're voicing the upcoming one, which is major. What is that line, Brave is Unbeatable? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's just showing the courage, right? Team Canada is going out there to represent our country, represent our family, our friends, and we're going out there to show the world that we can beat any obstacle, we can beat any odds, and we're going to go out there and have the courage and be brave that when we step on that line, we're going to give it our best shot, right? It's just all about really just showing that perseverance, being resilient, showing all the sacrifices it took to get there. And literally, like the line says, go out there and be brave and go out there and be at the best of your ability. Show the world that you belong. Show the world that you want to come away with, something special to represent Canada with. And that's literally what it is. Brave is really unbeatable, man. So just showing all that hard work and work ethic over the years to get to that point in your career, and you want to just go out there and do something special.
Mm-hmm. When you look back on your journey, ever since from when you started off to literally becoming one of Canada's most decorated Olympians, so just all the way to the top there, what are some moments that come to mind when you think about, times that demanded something like bravery for you?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, one of the things that come to my mind is just like the setbacks, all the things that it took to get to that point, right? Because you're working that hard, you're grinding. For me, my sport, I'm training 5-6 days a week, and I want to make it. I want to get out there. I want to represent. I know that I got to get through each step along the way. So you know, I'm thinking about, you know, what I got to put into my body, what I got to, you know, what I got to get enough sleep. I got to make sure that all the things are just clicking. And sometimes you're going to have things where things go wrong and you're going to have some setbacks along the way. And you got to just kind of readjust and be that resilient person that it takes to get there. So I just remember all the moments it took to get there. And when I finally got there, I was like, okay, everything's working. Everything's clicking. I'm happy. I'm enjoying the process. And now I'm going to go out there and try to win these medals. And I've been very successful at doing that. But I think a lot of people don't see that, you know, behind the scenes is that it takes a lot of work to get there. It just doesn't just happen magically. So definitely a lot of sacrifice and a lot of moments of setbacks and disappointments that took me to get there to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you're not usually associated with the Winter Olympics. Why are you lending your voice to Team Canada ahead of Milana Cortina in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, we're all Olympians at the end of the day.
Not all of us, but some of them.
Well, whether it's the winter, the summer, I mean, we all represent Canada, right? At the end of the day. And we're all rooting for each other. We all want to see each other be successful, come home and, you know, bring home medals or bring home some good performances, break some records. And we're all watching at the end of the day, right? So even you, like, we're all watching, we all feel a part of it. We're all inspired and we're motivated. So whether I'm watching the Winter Games, I'm like, you know, sometimes I want to go out there and be like, and you know, let's go play some hockey, or, you know, let's go, you know, sometimes I'm like, I think let's go do some curling, like just anything, like anything you see, you're like, I want to go out there and try it. I mean, I definitely wouldn't try skiing right now or snowboarding, but watching it during that time of the year. It's incredible. It's incredible to see. But I can't practice it because I got to save my legs, you know, no freak accidents.
Definitely. Maybe like post-retirement or something.
Yeah, definitely. When it's done, you know, go up to the mountains and everything and have a good time. But, I mean, that's what it's all about. And I just feel special. I feel inspired. I feel like I want to go out there and just be that kid again and go try that sport, you know? So, definitely even lending my name to it, it didn't feel like it was a big deal when they asked me for that opportunity to do it. I was just super honored to be a part of it. And like, you know, I get to announce some legendary names while I'm at it. So it's pretty cool. I can't tell you who it is right now because I don't know when it's coming out. But when you see it, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you say that, you know, something like the concept and your definition of success has evolved from when you started out to now being as decorated as you are? Like, how did those goalposts move for you, and what drives you now beyond something like the podium in terms of how you relate to success and how you define it for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, definitely on the track, I feel like it hasn't much really changed. Like, I still have the same type of ultimate goal. And that's to, you know, be on that podium. Right. So when you have that success at a young age, like for me, when I got on, you know, my first Olympics, I was 21 years old. I wanted that feeling over and over again. And it's kind of like, it feels like, for me, like when I don't do that, it feels like an unsuccessful season. But I know people always have to look, like, you know, my team always would say, look at the bright side, you know, like you were healthy, you made it there through all the obstacles. And, you know, you have to kind of give grace with that. Right. So my team would always tell me that. But in my head, I'm like, no, I want to like always be like, you know, on the podium, have that same type of feeling that it feels to stand on that podium. And that's it. Now, you know, like I'm chasing that ultimate goal of trying to be the fastest, right? It's just, it gives you that adrenaline, and it just gives you that drive every single day to get up. I mean, so that's kind of how I looked at that. But I think when I shifted my focus and like off the track, in a sense, where I was like, okay, what else do I want to be like known for? What else do I want to be like successful at? Because all, these last 10 years of my, you know, of my career, that's kind of like all I've been, you know, that's what I've been focused on. I've been focused on my sport, and I was like, I want to like, you know, create change, you know, try to create a legacy outside of that. And that was the whole reason kind of why I kind of started my own foundation back in, mm-hmm. I started in 2018, but but I didn't really do much work with it until about, I would say, like after the 2021 Olympics. That's when I kind of got more involved and started doing more things. So I'm like, okay, I want to, you know, now I have the name. I won the Olympic gold that year, the year before in Tokyo. So now I'm like, okay, now let's try to lend my name, use my name, and try to, like, you know, do things around it to try to support that next generation. And that's kind of when I started that Future Champion Scholarship Program, teamed up with my federation, Athletics Canada, to be able to do that. So for me, that kind of felt, I felt a lot of pride. I felt a lot of joy, a lot of passion behind that. And yeah, that's kind of where I was like, okay, I feel like I'm trying to gain momentum. I'm starting to feel what success feels like. I got people coming up to me, parents, coaches, and just saying, you know, thank you, Andre, for all your support. You don't know what this means to me. You know, my kid or whoever has been able to, like, you know, or being able to get a scholarship off of this, go off to school, get a free education. So that kind of felt like, oh wow, like, yeah, I'm creating not just my success on the track, but I'm creating more success for other people to be able to, like, you know, be successful themselves. So that kind of felt like really good. And that's kind of like brought me a lot of, like I said, brought me a lot of joy. And yeah, I just feel really good about it. And that's kind of like now how I kind of think about my success now as I grow. It's like, how many lives can I touch now? And how many lives can I change? Right. So that's kind of for like, sure, what kind of goes through my mind now. And literally just, I think the other thing of my success is now that I have a family and I have kids now, I just want to see them grow and I want them to see them be successful in whatever they do, you know? So whether that's, you know, whether that's now that they're reading their first book, and now, you know, my older one is starting to do competitions in sports. So like, that's kind of like my success now. I feel like throughout that joy. So it just feels pretty good. But also I still like want, you know, that success on the track as well. So I'm still fighting for that. And I still want to try to do, you know, one more Olympics. So yeah, I kind of said a lot there. It's success can be defined in so many ways for me now.
Yeah, I love that. You've become, you know, obviously like a global figure, but you've stayed really rooted in your Canadian identity. How do you see Canada's place in the global sports conversation today? Because obviously, yeah, like we've got the Winter Olympics coming, which is always an exciting time for Canadian sports. But then we've also got these other incredible things happening in our sports ecosystem, like, you know, World Cup coming to Canada. We've got the first WNBA franchise coming to Canada. Like, there's so many incredible things that are happening. So where do you see, from your perspective, Canada's place in the global sports conversation?
Yeah, it's evolving. I mean, it's really just incredible to see. I mean, one of the things that, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, I got approached about investing in a women's soccer league. And I say a Canadian women's soccer league, right? And they're like, oh, we want to bring a team to Toronto because you're from Toronto. And I was like, wow, like, this is incredible. Like, great pitch, great cause. You know, one of my friends, Christine St. Clair, is a part of it as well. So I was like, you know, I got all these people approaching me about it. And I said, yeah, I want to be a part of this. This seems like something special. And yeah, I want to just, you know, lend my name, you know, of course, invest in it as well and try to be a co-owner of this. And here we are, first year in the league. And it's incredible. They had a couple games at BMO Field. Now they're playing over at York University in Toronto. And the league has kind of taken off with the six teams. And I'm just kind of grateful to be a part of that. And now here we are. Now the WNBA team is coming, mm-hmm, to Toronto Temple. So like, it's like everyone wants to be, you know, a part of that. And it's like, it's kind of just something really special that I find that, like, now that I've kind of, you know, I've kind of grew up, of course, with the major teams, the Maple Leafs, the, you know, the Raptors and the Blue Jays. But now it's like, they want to create so much more. You know, like, I remember I was just watching a film, the John Candy documentary, last week. And I didn't even realize that John Candy is the one that brought the Argonauts, you know, to the Toronto Argonauts for the CFL. Oh, okay. And I was like, I didn't even know this. I was like, okay. So like, it's like everyone, you know, wants to bring us major sports team to Toronto. It's such a great city. And now you just see it kind of like evolving kind of all over Canada, and people are starting to, like, you know, I guess, love sport more, right? Because you kind of see that dominance kind of more in America with so many different leagues and so many different teams. And now you're kind of just seeing that over here. So I find that kind of like, you know, pretty cool, so interesting. And it's kind of fascinating just to see that evolve in such a way, especially with the women's sports now, right? Because, you know, we're always trying to see more women on the playing field and, you know, and just seeing them, you know, they have so much talent and they're as well. And we just want to see it out there in front of home. So it's great that now we can just, you know, casually just, you know, say, hey, you want to go see a game? Like literally, like, you know, every sport is playing in Toronto now. Like you can watch, you know, any sport. So whether that's women or men. So it's just pretty cool.
It's incredible. It's super special.
Yeah. So for me, it's like, I mean, for my sport, I'm hoping that we can have more track meets again. We used to have it back in the day, you know, at UFT, the University of Toronto. And then, of course, you know, we had a little bit of that at the Toronto Pan Am Games in 2015. So I'm hoping that we can kind of see that again a little bit more as time goes on. But I know it kind of comes every couple of years because I think the last big competition we had was 2018 at the North American Caribbean Championships. But definitely we're starting to see it kind of spread a little bit over in Canada, like in the western part with Vancouver and Edmonton. So hopefully we'll bring it back over here in Toronto soon.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's so interesting. I feel like athletes are always, and sport overall is such an interesting medium and reflection of what's going on in society today, because there are so many themes that we can kind of distill from our conversations that have to do with resilience and values and ambition, ambition, success. You've obviously always been like a multi-hyphenate. Your story really does represent resilience, representation, hope, success. How do you see sport as really like a medium for culture and progress and just what is going on in the bigger picture around the world?
Yeah, I mean, sport is it's what brings people together. You see it. You see it in everything, you know. It's like the culture with the fashion, you know, what shoes that, you know, people want to wear. You say, oh, I want to wear my favorite player's shoes. Me when I was growing up as a kid, I'm like, I always wanted to wear some Jordans, wear some Kobe's. so it's like you see it just evolve. It's like it inspires people, right, to like go out there and pursue it. It's a game that people love, like whatever sport it is. I mean, even me growing up, I loved, you know, playing baseball, basketball, soccer, and that kind of like gave me in direction in life. You know, I wanted to, you know, help me make friends and help me make, well, not even, I can't even say friend, like long lasting friends, best friends. Like all my friends come from sports. I mean, they don't play much sports now, a lot of them, but we're still cool. We still have so much to relate to. We have so much to talk about, you know, especially when it comes to like watching a championship game or a playoff run, like right now, like even watching the Blue Jays, you know, we're like, yo, this is incredible. This is like something that we've never seen before. Like we weren't born in that time when they won the World Series. So we're like seeing this, you know, crazy run, even when the Raptors won in 2019, like it just brings everyone together. You saw the parade and how many people were kind of out there just like, you know, rocking the gear and, you know, and screaming and just yelling like we did it. Like, so it's kind of like one of those cultural movements where like, you know, like I said, like this World Cup coming out to 2026 next year,
yeah,
it's coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be like just great energy, great atmosphere. So it just, you know, people love it. People love rooting for their favorite team or their favorite country. And literally like it has a way of just bringing people together. And I find that so much, even like in my sport, even though like my sport is individual, but when people come up to me and say, you know, Andre, we're so proud of you. Thanks for doing it for the country. Thanks for showing everyone that, you know, we're great too. So like they feel like kind of inspired and involved in a way. So, I mean, it's just like, it's just cool to see how much like sport can just play a role in just everything in life. Like it builds character. It builds, like you said, it builds resilience. It builds leadership skills. You know, like having to have a team captain and those things, like you can bring all those things from sport and bring it into real life situations or real life careers or real life jobs. All those things, it just, it plays a role. Whether you played on, you don't even have to be a professional, whether you played at a elementary level, a high school level, a college level, or if you're just playing with your friends in the park, like, or you know, or like say, hey, like you're taking your work buddies and say, hey, let's go get a game of, you know, I see now people like, let's go get a game of pickleball or just, you know, anything that's random. Like it just kind of brings those people together so much. So you find it that it's very relatable that you can talk to people about sports. I haven't really found one person yet, like that I've been around or in my life that like can't relate to like something like in sport, you know, like there's so much sports out there. So someone's going to find something to attract to in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, earlier in our conversation, we talked about like consistency and just, you know, the things that people don't see when it comes to your training and all the ups and downs that come with being a professional athlete. What is something like your day-to-day routine look like, especially in terms of training and recovery?
Yeah, a lot of people, like, yeah, a lot of people don't see that. I mean, they just see the glory, right? They see the totally. End result. But it's a grind. I always tell people it's a grind. I mean, you're putting your body through so much, and literally you're training almost every day. Like even when you have days off, you still got to go out, you know, and get recovery, get a massage, get medical attention, get medical treatment, see the doctors, whatever chiropractor, all those things like you have to do. Like it's a 24/7 job. Like it's not like you can just like literally just say okay and stop just like that, because then you kind of won't see the results, right? So yeah. You have to really kind of literally trust the process and be locked into that mindset every single day until the buzzer stops or the whistle stops, whatever sport you play. But but just that analogy that you have to grind until it's literally until it's off season. But then when it's off season, you still got to do things to get you ready for the next season. So you find it like it's kind of taken over your life in a sense until you finally just retire. That's kind of how it goes. But
for sure, for sure.
But like I said, like to answer your question about a typical day is literally like I'm there 5-6 days at the track, Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday. And I'm there for 2-3 hours and sometimes even 4, but I would say an average 2-3 hours. And you know, it's kind of crazy because like some days are hot and I'm baking in the sun. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to just keep going. You got to keep it rolling. And then you have some days where it's like, I don't want to be here. It's kind of cold. It's raining. But you still gotta go in there and put in the hours. You gotta go, like I said, you gotta go clock in, right? You gotta go clock into work. So that's kind of like the hustle. That's kind of the grind. And I'm there training, and then from there, I take a little small break, eat some lunch, and then I head to the weight room. And then I'm in the weight room for about 2 hours as well. You know, grinding out, whether that's, you know, some days bench press, squats, cleans, you know, pull-ups, push-ups, you name it, all the good stuff. And I'm in there doing my work, you know, trying to, you know, bang out that last set. And I'm in there about 3 days a week. Monday, you know, Monday.
It truly is.
Yeah, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And yeah, that's kind of like my whole week. And then from that, I kind of just take some time and I, you know, go get treatment, you know, get a massage, see the chiropractor, make sure I'm doing all my prehab and rehab exercises. And then I go home. And by that time, it's already a 9-to-5 grind.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is definitely like not something that you can clock in, clock out. It seems like it's truly like something that you're living and breathing every day in terms of your lifestyle.
Yeah, that's the lifestyle. Of course, you know, you try to take a breath, and you know, and on those Sundays, or sometimes you might have a weekend off, Saturday and Sunday, and you try to just take some time with the family, relax a bit, but then you got to really kind of get back in that mindset again Sunday night and prepare yourself for Monday morning.
Yeah, yeah. I've also been told that you've got a new partnership with AG1, which is very exciting.
Yeah, AG1, man. Yeah, that definitely helps. That definitely helps me through the day, because when you're running out of, you know, when you're starting your day, it's the perfect drink to literally start your day. I mean, gives you that energy, gives you that boost. It's filled with everything you can think of, all your vitamins, you know, all the gut health. It's one of the kind of the greatest drinks I've actually drank, to be honest, in my life.
It's wow. Helped me,
especially as I've gotten older, and now literally they have like three different flavors. I remember before, yeah, it was like just that one flavor, but now I'm like really like hooked on that tropical flavor, you know? So it's like, we have like three flavors. I think it's tropical, citrus, and berry. But yeah, tropical is the one I kind of like go through and drink all the time. So that's kind of giving me that boost, giving me that energy, and helps me like start my day. And then, and now they're coming out with a new drink called AGZ. So that's going to help you with recovery and sleep. So I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, no, that makes a total sense. So what is something like, you know, with that in mind, like something like peak performance mean to you now, not just physically, but also just mentally and emotionally? Like if we're talking about just having the everything that you need in order to be in peak position.
Yeah. Like all those things help. I mean, especially like I said, as I've gotten older, I can't just depend on my physical attributes and my physical talent. You know, of course that plays a role, but it's really like being mentally prepared, making sure I'm taking care of my body with the right supplements I'm putting into my body, mm-hmm. the right nutrients. And of course, like I said, AG1 has helped with that, but other brands as well. And yeah, just making sure that I'm doing all the right things for that recovery. Like literally, like hydration plays a key role, especially when I'm out there breaking down. I need to make sure I'm hydrated. So that's like key number one. Like I always have to have a bottle with me drinking like all the time, because like it's so easy to get dehydrated when you're training every single day, and that will cause cramps, and that's going to cause injuries. So we don't want that. So I find that I've had to change my diet as well as I've gotten older. Like no more fast food, no more junk food. I used to be able to get away with that when I was 20, 21 years old in college and everything. And it kind of just didn't matter. It flew by me. But now as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay, I got to like make sure I'm putting the right things, fueling up my tank. It's kind of like, I always think of it as a fast car, and you got to put that, you know, that 93, 94 premium gas in there, and you know, for it to go, right? Or else you're gonna break down, right? I've never seen anybody, you know, put in a premium car 87, 89, because I know if they do that,
it's not gonna last long. Yeah,
it's not gonna last long, right? So you gotta think of it like just literally like that. And I think if more people thought about it like that as well, they would see a lot of you know, peak performance in themselves. Yeah. And whether that's not even have to do a sport, but just in life in general, like, you know, natural healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, like having, I guess, more of like a mindset around like longevity versus just performing for one season or the next season, you know, a short-term mindset.
Yeah. You can't have a short-term mindset. You definitely really have to have that longevity. And, you know, I've been really fortunate and grateful in my career that I've had that longevity. I'm hoping to get, you know, one more Olympics, 2028 in LA. Mm-hmm. That'll be my fourth games. So, I mean, a lot of people don't even see after one game, that's it. So I've been really fortunate to have, you know, that longevity and that support and making sure that I'm taking care of myself to be able to do that. So I'm really, you know, I think that's also kind of contributed to my, you know, I remember your earlier question when you talked about success, that's kind of made me feel like, oh, I've been very successful in that. So that's kind of a big thing to me that I'm like being able to do this for so long, because, you know, not a lot of athletes, I've seen athletes leave where I've started with, and now I'm here competing with the new athletes that are kind of like, you know, coming into the game. So, you know, they call me Unk now, OG. So it's crazy.
That is wild, because you just literally turned 30 last year. Like, that's just wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yo, what's up, Unk? What's up, OG? I'm like, damn, I'm like, I'm still damn, young.
Yeah. perfect segue just into my last question here. You know, I just wanted to kind of get a pulse check for you in terms of like what's next for you as you go into this next Olympic cycle, and also just beyond that, like what's keeping you excited and curious and also just brave when we talk about how we started this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I got so many things on the works. I mean, one of the things I'm looking forward to off the track is trying to get this movie off the ground.
Yeah.
I'm working on a biopic of my life, my origin story of how I kind of got into the sports and where it's kind of, you know, taken me. So it kind of end, we're trying to make it end right before, right after the 2016 Olympics. So it's kind of like the early stage in my life or in my career. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to, you know, find, we're working on it. I can't say too much, but that's the hope to try to, like, you know, have that in my mind and have that done by my last Olympics in 2028. So that's something that I've been working on throughout the track. And then of course, yeah, just, you know, I don't know if you knew, I recently launched a book right before the Paris mm-hmm. Olympics. Mm-hmm. They call it Ignite. So that was pretty cool that I got a chance to work on that. So, I mean, I have a lot of things in the works. Of course, like you came to my wine launch. I launched two new yes. wines, a red wine and a white wine. So just trying to expand my horizon and try different things. I'm actually like now trying to get into a little bit of acting.
Love that.
That's pretty new. I'm gonna see, you know, probably take some classes and see where it goes. See where it goes with that. But I had a little bit of fun doing Murdoch Mysteries a couple years ago. I'm working on something, you know, I can't say too much, but I'm working on something in the works, and we did a pilot the other day, so I'm hoping that it takes off so I can kind of show you guys the series. So wish me luck on that.
But,
I'm just having fun. I'm enjoying the process, kind of like, you know, what's next for me. I'm just trying different things. I mean, I know eventually this is, you know, track will come to an end. Of course, I'm still really focused, and I still have goals, and I want to be successful going into this next Olympic cycle. But I'm also just, you know, trying to, you know, figure out what else brings me joy, what else gives me passion. So just even doing that voiceover the other day for Team Canada for the Brave is Unbeatable campaign, you know, thought about, that's pretty cool. I'm like, what if I be a voice actor for like a cartoon? Like, I don't know. Like, I've just been thinking about different things. And
how was that experience for you? Like, cause I've had to do that one. It is, voiceover is not as easy as it looks.
I'm really happy that I had like people in there that like were supportive, and they walked me through it, and they, you know, they said, it's okay if you mess up. Like, so they didn't put no pressure on me. They just told me, yeah, go in there and just have fun, man, have fun and just enjoy it. So, I was in there for about 2 hours, but I didn't get frustrated. I enjoyed it. I liked it. So I was like, okay, maybe I can see myself doing this. You know, it was pretty cool. So I'm hoping that everybody likes it and likes my voiceover with the campaign. And if they do, then maybe, you know, maybe it'll give me a shot, an opportunity and something else. So we'll see, or maybe it's dead and we'll try something else. But either way, I'm just out there having fun, just enjoying it. And, you know, whatever life brings to me, I'm just grateful for every opportunity. So I'm just having fun exploring different avenues, different lanes. And a lot of these things that I thought I would never do in my life or in my career, but it's happening. I'm doing it, and I'm being brave through it. Having the confidence to do it, because sometimes I'm like, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if I could do that. But, you know, I just got to go out there and be brave and just try it. And if it fails, it fails. But at least I gave it my all, and I gave it a try.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I as well as the rest of the world, we're so excited to see you, you know, cross these new frontiers and try out these things and just have fun along the way. It's been really great to see all the things that you've been, all the different endeavors that you've been embarking on. So I'm wishing you all the best luck from my end, and just always so happy that we have the ability to have our little catch-up chats here.
Yeah, thanks, Lance. I appreciate that, man. It was great talking to you. It's always fun.
You as well. Let's
next cover of glory.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much, Andre.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's a wrap on this episode of Mission Critical. If today's conversation gave you something to think about, do me a favor. Subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. big ideas are meant to be shared, and the best insights only matter if they're put into action. Until next time, stay sharp, stay curious, and go and make something happen. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical.